Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. according to Ookla speed test, based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, we're not quite there to Friday, but we're getting very, very close. That means we'll have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. In the 3 o'clock hour, it's former State Senator Jeff Smith, who is going to be here on the left, and Greg Keller, fire-breathing conservative, on the right. That's always a great time with those two guys. We'll have a lot of fun tomorrow on the roundtable. I have a couple things I want to do here. We have Sue's News coming up in a few minutes, Josh Krasauer at the bottom of the hour. I just ran across a story that came on my iPad from Apple News, and I was actually unfamiliar with this particular situation, but The story starts this way, and I was thrown off because it said, by now you've surely seen the headlines, and I have not, and I don't know if you guys have. On May 22nd, a 7-year-old boy made it to the top of El Capitan in Yosemite.
What?
Yeah. No. So I hadn't heard about this. So they say in the past week, various news outlets, Fox, people have reported on Joey Danger Evermore, who spent 5 days jugging up El Caps alongside with his dad, Joe, and his 11-year-old brother. When the group summited around 1 a.m. that Friday, Joey became the youngest person in history to ascend El Cap, breaking a record set by an 8-year-old in November of 2024. So it's not the first time that this has happened.
Wow.
But I guess, and this is the guy who writes this story, says typically when climbing records are broken, climbing reporters like me are quick to celebrate and share the details. But this one felt different from my view in Yosemite, where I'm based for the season. Most of the climbers I know regard the ascent, and specifically the dad in the equation, with dismissal or disdain, because I guess there were rumors, people were saying it's all for publicity, it's such a junk show, the kids were crying the whole time.
Oh,
the dad's got this weird conservative agenda. Now, I don't know what's true or what's
Fred
not.
Fred is skeptical.
I'm not skeptical of that, the fact that they did it. I'm skeptical, or I'm like kind of upset with the dad that he would let his kid do that, or
his
kid do
it? Well, I assume he was.
I mean, how dangerous is it?
Super dangerous. And how did he do it, Mark? You know what I mean? Did he have his kid tied to him the whole time?
There, let me just say this, okay, just so I can be honest with you. I just found this story, and it's pretty detailed, because what he does is this reporter basically says that he spoke with one of the guides who agreed to, you know, be interviewed in exchange for anonymity, and there were a couple other people who are like mountaineering experts, if you will. And he says, what I found was a complicated picture of media, climbing, achievement, and parenting, and a much bigger story than what's been told. So there have been other kids that have done this, and he goes into great detail about some of the other stories that have happened with kids, and goes back to this particular adventure as well. But it's real detailed. So let me, you know, this might actually be something we do on the air next week, because this guy has done a very, very detailed story. His name is Sam McElwain. And Fred, I can send this to you. I literally kind of accidentally found it here. So I don't have all the answers to your questions, Sue, and I apologize for that. But yeah, you know, the gun instinct would be, wait a second. Okay, if the kid's into it, and if it's relatively safe because you have equipment on that will, in theory, you know, they're not doing what that Alex, you know, kid
well,
did
that's
where he's
true.
Free solo. Which, by the way, that movie is incredible.
Yes.
It really is.
If you haven't watched it, make that for weekend plans.
So most of the people who do this, they, you know, there's a lot of protective gear and equipment and stuff like that. But I don't know. Let me read the whole story and see, you know, because as he indicated, the you know, takeaway I think that he had was certainly that it's a lot more complicated maybe than he even thought to begin with. So we'll see what happens with
that. Are you going into second grade when you're seven? I mean, that is young.
Seven, eight.
So going into
second or third grade, that is young. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know.
Wow.
I'll hold off a little bit on my judgment
there's
just to
some
see
video.
If there's new information.
It's interesting.
Well, everybody's buzzing about it that's in that world, right?
Well, I can see why.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's see here. What else are we going to do? I got to find my my fun sounder here, and I can never do it when I really need it, because it is a rare, rare afternoon, and we know this doesn't happen all the time, where we have insect news, ladies and gentlemen. Where the hell is my stupid sounder, you guys? This is like the worst thing ever. I was all ready to do this.
You did it earlier.
I know I did it earlier, so why can't I find it right now? Ethan's going to come in here and embarrass me, because he's going to... show me right where it is. Here it is. I just found it as he walked in. So let's ignore that the previous 45 seconds happened, and let's do this right now.
It's time for insect news.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Are you ready for this one?
I am.
I love this. This is in the... Listen to the way that ends. That is a brilliant sounder. Ryan Wiggins helped put that together. Did you hear the buzzing at the
end? I did.
It just fades out like an old rock song from the 1970s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The long fade. It's an art that is really missing in modern music. All right, so here it is. Google is seeking EPA approval to release up to 64 million sterilized male mosquitoes in California and in Florida over 2 years to drive down the population of the disease-carrying insects. Here's the deal. Didn't know this.
They won't. I get it.
Male mosquitoes don't bite. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's the
just
ladies.
The females, right. So they say a new study estimates that 18.2 million Californians live in a region where conditions are likely suitable for local dengue transmission. That's how you pronounce it, like dengue fever or something like
dengue?
That. Dengue, that's it. Thank you, Fred. I knew it was dengue, like
I did
I said
not know.
The first time.
No, yeah.
I So they... Google is seeking to release 64 million sterilized male mosquitoes, according to the notice in the Federal Register. It's part of an ambitious effort to curb the diseases the insects spread. Google says it can harness technology to optimize a concept that's been around for decades, but hasn't been successfully scaled with mosquitoes to rein in the disease. So they say, for example, the process involves separating the insects by sex to isolate the males. Currently, that's done manually and time-consuming. That sounds like it would take forever, right?
Good Lord.
Yeah. Google says it's, and this is like a Tech Talk Tuesday topic with George, because they say it's developing new technologies that combine sensors, algorithms, and novel engineering to take advantage of unique aspects of mosquito biology to quickly and accurately sort males from females. The company also says it's building software and monitoring tools to guide releases of sterile males. And the scientists and engineers that they're working with are creating sensors, traps, and software to decide which areas need to be treated and treated again. I mean, this is really fascinating when you think about it. And it's always a topic like this that leads me to, you know, my personal conclusion about my life, which is all I'm doing is opening my big mouth on the radio. And these are people that are studying these really cool things and coming up with solutions to problems that we never thought might exist. But I guess one of the things that's happened in California is this is a very specific type of mosquito. And I'm not going to try to really pronounce it, but they're native to Africa, but they've infiltrated half of the counties in California. They found them first in 2013. So it's not only the bites that are crazy, we all hate that, but there are diseases, including dengue, Zika, chikungunya, and yellow fever.
Chikungunya.
You know, right. All these things. How do you know
they're
chikungunya?
They're medical terms.
He's the health
guy. Oh, he's the health editor.
And it was
of KMOX.
One of the spelling bee words, chikungunya, one of the final spelling.
Was it really?
It was. Yeah.
Chikungunya sounds something I could get like at a Thai restaurant or something like that. I think it sounds good. So the plan is to infect males, which again, don't bite, and I think maybe I didn't know that, with bacteria called, Fred, what's the bacteria called?
Dengue?
No.
Oh,
you know all this. Well,
give him
you say it wrong, and yeah. I'll
okay.
correct you.
Yeah. Wolbachia.
Don't know it.
Wolbachia. Well, we're going with Wolbachia, which effectively renders them sterile. Then they're released. They seek out wild females, and they mate. The females will lay eggs, but they will not hatch, which experts say drives down the population over time. They say that there are other methods to sterilize male mosquitoes. Vector-controlled districts serving Los Angeles, Orange, and San Bernardino counties have released these males in recent years, and they've kind of tried smaller versions of this. But they say that they saw in Los Angeles, the vector control district where they did this, two neighborhoods, you know, sort of
yeah,
like a,
yeah,
little
like
bit
a
of
test
a,
area. Yeah,
80% reduction in the
Jeez.
Female population in 24 and 25.
Sold. I mean, why not try it? And what'd you say? California? Perfect.
Yeah. If Google moves, now this is kind of like it sounds like maybe we're doing it, maybe we're not, but it says if Google moves forward, it wouldn't be the first time it's been involved in such an effort. So they say in 2018, they conducted something releasing 14.4 of these infected males into three neighborhoods. And they say at peak mosquito season, the number of female mosquitoes were 95.5% lower in release areas compared to non-release. So that means, I mean, that sounds like it works. And it says the most geographically isolated neighborhoods reached a 99% reduction. So they've been studying this for a while, and they've done this, you know, in these smaller populations. But now it's 64 million mosquitoes that are sterilized and separated with all this AI technology that are going to bring the mosquito population down.
I think that's ingenious.
It really is.
It really is.
It seems like it works. I feel like, and maybe I'm going to jinx myself on this, but I feel like I just haven't had issues with mosquitoes in my life in the last few years. Like, I have a lot of vegetation in my backyard, but it's over my fence and by the creek. And like, if I'm just hanging out on the deck or something like that, or on the patio, they never seem to bother me.
Oh my gosh, I always just get bitten. By the way, a mosquito, what do you think the lifespan is of a female mosquito?
3 days.
56 days.
56, well, that's...
A man, the male, 10 days.
That's it.
So, all of this is mind-blowing to me. So, they're only alive for 10 days, but they manage to get them... with this stuff and have them mate, and so nothing happens, and then all the female, then no females are produced.
Right, right.
And it's wow.
But again, this is a very specific type of mosquito too. So I'm the way I interpret that story is like if they tried something like that here, they couldn't necessarily do it unless they would specifically breed our type of mosquito. Does that sound right?
I guess.
The health editor, Fred. You tell me.
Fred, you know
I'm just
all
trying
the
to
answers.
Use common sense.
Yeah.
You're out of my lane.
All right. Well, that's all right. Okay. I don't think we have to worry about it in Missouri anyway. It's hard for me to believe Governor Kehoe is going to okay millions of dollars to release mosquitoes.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money, and most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. According to Ookla speed test, based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Right. We have Josh Krausauer coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Gabe Gore, St. Louis Circuit attorney who's been in office for 3 years, is going to join us in studio just after 5 o'clock. We got to do this afternoon on a Thursday.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
I am really excited about this marathon Olympic trial coming in 2028.
Yeah, are you going to volunteer?
Yes.
Give people the details, because this was just announced earlier today.
We get to host that. St. Louis gets to host the 2028 U.S. Olympic team trials in the marathon. And it's going to be super cool. They're going to start at Wash U, where the 1904 Olympics started. That's where they opening ceremonies for the 1904. They're going to take them past the Arch. They'll take them into Forest Park.
Beautiful.
And they're going to end at the soccer stadium. That's what it sounds like. So I'm trying to figure out how I can volunteer.
Well, you can maybe get some Kevlar ready for some of the runners as they go through downtown.
I can arrange why do I even Kevlar, try, Fred? Why do I even try?
Okay.
I did not.
Sorry. No, I do. I think this is awesome. I really do. I think it's great. I wish we would have more track and field events. It would be fun to see those.
Yeah, really. Would. So if anybody knows how to volunteer, let me know. I would like to do that. All right. On this day in history, 130 years ago, it's 1896, and Henry Ford got up. It was in the nighttime. It was after the sun went down, and he thought, all right, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to do the test run of my horseless carriage. That's right. In 1896, he did a nighttime drive through the streets of Detroit. 130 years ago today. That's pretty crazy. Cool.
Really, I guess he had headlights.
I guess.
I mean, or a flashlight or a cam.
He did. I think that was a pretty soon one of the first things to come out, because you really did. That was an improvement over the horse, right?
The horse didn't have a head.
Exactly. And 110 years ago today, the plans for the new Bevo Mill restaurant on Gravois were announced in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. How about that?
Let me tell you, when I lived in South City, I would go over there. There were a couple of different incarnations of people trying to keep that place alive.
Oh, it's alive.
What's the status of it right now?
Bevo.
Yeah, okay. And I've been there for several wedding receptions.
Yeah.
And it's a very nice place. Very good.
Can you go on a daily, just to get food there? Or is it more for special events?
I think it might be special events.
I mean, it's an awesome place. And
they have
a
beer garden
outside,
too.
That's true, too. They were having live music and a beer garden outside, so I'm not sure. But the story goes that August A. Bush chose a spot halfway between the brewery and his house.
That's right.
And that's how they did it. He wanted it to be a high-class restaurant. And he named it after Bevo, which was Anheuser-Busch non-alcoholic beer at the time.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. And 89, I don't know why I was going to say 86, years ago today, in 1937, Oklahoma City grocery store owner Sylvan Goldman invented the shopping cart. It is 100, no, it's 89 years ago. So I had to Google it and say, what were people using? They said, you just bring in what you got. If you had a box, you'd put it in there. It was, they had little hand baskets. But nobody had come up with
the
big
shopping
cart.
But I wonder what the first shopping cart looked like. You know,
that's a good question.
I think they still use them at Walmart.
No, they have good, although the one I had this morning, I was actually there today, had a front wheel issue. So they have a lot of carts at Walmart, man. Those racks that they, you know, pull those carts into.
They do have a lot.
It's a lot. That's interesting, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that today in history.
It's only 89 years old. Happy Hug Your Cat Day, Mark. I think you're the one with the cat in here.
Three cats, yes.
Yeah, hug all of them.
I love all my cats. Well, my cat Shadow is very, very particular. She's a little, she's called Shadow, I think, for a reason, but she's not one I can just pick up and hug. She has to come to me.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
She's a lady.
Well, so Becky was out of town this week, and she literally, and this is very rare for Shadow, she literally was crawling on top of my chest and rubbing her head into my, but I mean, that's because I was lying in bed on my back, and Max, my dog, was right next to me, and I just kind of didn't even move my hands. But she's
afraid
real.
She'll move.
She's skittish, very skittish. Yeah.
Well, according, it's also National Cheese Day, which
yes.
I'm happy about.
Oh, yeah.
According to a new survey, 52% of Americans self-identify as cheese obsessed. Fred, is that you?
I would like cheese as a present. It's a good thing.
I like cheese.
Yeah. Did you just say you'd like cheese as a present?
Well, you know, people
like
say,
that.
What do you want for Christmas? Like, oh, I don't know. A cheese assortment.
I don't think there's anything wrong with
yeah.
that.
Okay, let me tell you something. My grandfather was a cheese. He liked super, super sharp cheddar, black diamond.
Ooh.
And so, you know, my mom and her sisters, she had a couple of sisters and a brother, and they would all try to send him stuff when he was in his 90s for Christmas. And finally, he just called them and said, don't need it, sending it back. Don't need it, sending it back. Keeping the cheese. So every year.
I love that.
That's
going
to be me.
That's Fred.
I was going to say, Fred, there is your future.
That's it.
I love, by the way, I'm a sharp cheddar guy, but I don't go into the extra sharp very often.
I'm a mild.
Are you?
Yeah.
Huh.
Seems like as a German, you should get a little hardcore in there, Fred. Try the medium. Just go out on the edge.
Okay.
They say that 16% say they're constantly eating cheese. What? 61% consume it often or sometimes. Only 3% say they never eat cheese. I know someone who does not eat cheese. It drives his wife nuts. She can't put it on anything. It's not me.
Oh, it's not you?
No.
Can you name the person or not?
Well, it's a relative of mine.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, I can. She's not. Yeah, she's in Houston. One of my nieces, her husband will not eat cheese, and she's got three little boys, and she's like, everybody loves cheese but Dad. So she can't.
Are you doing like any cheese?
Nothing. Okay. And I think it's a mental block, and I want to get him past it.
It's got to be.
But, of course, nobody said that Aunt Sue should get him past it, so I'm
nobody
trying
said Aunt Sue
to.
Should slip the cheese to the husband
right.
and see if he's
But how
faked
does that
out.
Happen? Is it a texture issue?
Maybe a smell and texture
maybe a
thing.
Smell. Maybe yeah. You're right, but maybe Mom prepared it poorly one day. I didn't eat broccoli for years because it was
That's
overcooked.
Right. Me neither. Or Brussels sprouts. Ooh. No, I love them, right?
Exactly. All right, Garth Brooks, if you want to start some of that, was honored with the Artist of a Lifetime Award last night. This is by the recording industry.
Was this in Nashville or New York? You know?
Stand by.
Okay.
Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots and ruined your blind tie affair.
Oh, I don't know. I was reading further to find the answer for you.
I still remember it was a Sunday afternoon when Garth was here last time, I think, and I think he did two shows, and my friend Johnny Holzem called me or texted me, hey, I got an extra ticket for Garth. And there aren't many bands that I would have to say no to because my wife would be so extremely jealous. Like, most times she'd say, yeah, go have fun. Like, Triumph. She wasn't into them. I didn't say yes to that because I knew I'd be in trouble. But I've never seen him because of that.
Okay, I was in country music for all those years. I've met all kinds of those 90s and 2000 artists. But he was in his Chris Gaines phase.
Oh,
that
phase,
I had a chance to meet him. And So it was weird, and he wasn't there that time.
Fred,
so
I don't know
what that means.
Oh, yeah, he went through a phase where he called himself Chris Gaines and dyed his hair dark, and he was trying
How did
to...
I miss that?
I remember it, but I don't remember the details.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he has 10 albums that are certified diamond, which means they've sold at least 10 million units. 10 albums that have done that.
That's insane.
It
really is. That, you know, and no one will ever do that again because
you don't
buy albums, right?
Exactly. It probably also helps, though, that he sells so many CD box sets. But still, let's see. Even his last album, Time Traveler, was only sold in a CD box set, which contained other albums like Triple Love. And that one has now reached diamond status. Anyway, Garth says it's not about the numbers. It's about the music, Fred. And in other Garth news, he's reportedly looking to sell the rights to his catalog for, you ready?
$700 million.
Fred?
$400 million.
He might be able to get a billion.
$2 billion.
Okay.
Wow.
$2 billion!
Based on what I know about the other artists' catalogs, that might be a little high, but maybe not too far from what he might get, because that is a big catalog, and there are people that are getting 5 and 6 at this point, so that's why I went to a billion. That's interesting.
Yeah,
wow.
It is interesting. We'll just say it's coming up tomorrow. We're going to hear somebody has taken some Post Malone hits and turned them into lullabies.
Okay.
We'll have that tomorrow. Posty. You know I like to play
of
Posty.
Of course.
And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. There is a new baby zebra at the St. Louis Zoo, if you want to Google it. And they say, are zebras white with black stripes or black with white stripes? Well, according to science, their skin and their default hair color is black. And those white stripes are created by the lack of production of melanin in those striped areas. So zebras are black.
Do we have a name for our new zebra?
Probably, and I don't remember.
We'll try to figure it out.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get 2 phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
I feel like with my next guest here, Josh Krasauer, 97.1 FM Talk, political insider, editor-in-chief of the Jewish Insider. Do you have like 3 or 4 hours to spend this afternoon? Because there's so much news. There's so much political news. How are you, Josh?
My goodness. The timing is great today, Mark, because the story driving a lot of political conversation in Washington about Graham Plattner, the big story just dropped in the New York Times. So there's a lot of developments on Capitol Hill, but there's a lot of political developments in that main Senate race, too.
Yeah, I kind of started the show with that because the New York Times article dropped right before the show started or right as it was starting. And, you know, I think there's, as you know, the last couple of days, there's been a lot of buzz. We knew something else was coming. So the story that we hear is that Graham Plattner went up to Capitol Hill and, you know, was trying to do some meeting and greeting and maybe soothe over some concerns. But one of the questions he was asked is, hey, is there more coming? And I think he might have known there was more coming. So is it maybe now the tipping point where the Oppo research is going to keep probably coming and this guy is going to start falling by the wayside because the Democrats are sticking by him?
Well, look, there have been so many damaging allegations about this guy, Graham Plattner, whether it's Nazi tattoo or his demeaning and attacks of American military servicemen serving in Afghanistan, to misogynistic and bigoted social media posts, and none of it seemed to really dent his political standing. So I would be cautious about jumping. I also think that there was so much hype about this story, and I read the whole thing. I think it's pretty damaging about his history of abusive relationships. Three ex-girlfriends speak to the New York Times about sort of his issues in their relationship, including one pretty detailed allegation of physical abuse. But, you know, look, I think that, you know, if there's more where this came from, sure, I think we could do his campaign in. Where things stand now, I think it's very much up in the air, where I think a lot of voters in Maine are primed to vote Democratic, but you have a candidate with such baggage and such a low personal reputation that it's going to be very, very uncertain where things stand. And by the way, Mark, there's a primary in Maine
next
on Tuesday.
Week. Right.
So Janet Mills, the governor, the state's governor who dropped out of the race, is still on the ballot.
Right.
So we'll get next Tuesday a sense of how much damage this has been doing among Democratic voters.
Do you have any indication that there are people that are, I think I've heard this, that they're encouraging people to vote for Mills because of this?
Well, the messaging from Democrats has been all over the map. Some Democrats met with him when he was in town on Tuesday and they reiterated their support. Chuck Schumer has not backed down from his support of Plattner, but others have been much more cautious.
And
you know, it's interesting that I think they're waiting to see the next shoe to drop, which has come with the New York Times expose. Look, I will say that the Plattner campaign has been prepared for this to come out. They have been spinning so far that this is not as much of a bombshell as a lot of people had been anticipating. I think it's plenty damaging, especially when you top it off with all the other problems he's facing. But look, we're in a pretty good Democratic national environment. This is a must-win Senate seat for the Democrats. So I think there could be some degree of partisanship that reasserts itself, even with all the baggage.
But the folks, and I spoke with someone that was up there in Maine yesterday. I mean, there's still the conventional wisdom that in the end, Susan Collins will still win the seat. I know there's risk here, and they want to say that this is maybe more in play. But the insiders in Maine still think that she'll close the deal like she always does. Is that different than what you might think?
Well, all you have to do is look at the betting markets where, you know, Plattner was, 80% chance of winning as of a few days ago. And in the last couple days, as the rumors about this story have circulated, it's now more of a 50-50 proposition.
Yeah.
Look, Susan Collins, I've covered her, for decades now. She's one of the most battle-tested, popular senators back home. But she's been facing a lot of headwinds this year because Trump is very unpopular in Maine, and there's a desire among Democrats, even more moderate Democrats, that they need to do anything possible to check Donald Trump. And if that means you're voting out Susan Collins so they can retake the Senate, they're going to do that. Plattner has made that proposition very, very difficult because his character is so disreputable, and there's so many documented instances of whether it's the Nazi tattoo, whether it's the sexist and racist postings, whether it's attacking military servicemen. I mean, all these things we've been talking about, it's hard to stomach voting for a guy like that, especially if you're a Democrat who cares about, you know, civil rights, inclusivity, and kind of the mainstream views that Maine Democrats have been known for.
By the way, in the reporting today, and I don't know if it was as big of a bombshell or not, but what I do know is that the Nazi tattoo was also referred to, and that there were women who had made the claim that he knew exactly what that tattoo was, even though he claims that it wasn't. So, I mean, it's kind of common sense. It's hard for me to believe that he didn't know. I mean, it's just ridiculous, the excuses.
Mark, a Jewish Insider broke that story months ago that the ex-girlfriend had heard from Plattner that he called it my Totenkopf.
That's right.
How he referred to it. So the New York Times confirms our reporting, and it actually had now the person the ex-girlfriend is now on the record with a name. But
well, good job. My apologies for not knowing that. Let's go to California. Look, yesterday I sat here in the day after the jungle primary, and I'm looking at the results. You know, the LA Times 60%. Today they're up to 62% counted. How about that progress in California, Josh?
I mean, if you want to know why California government is so sclerotic, all you have to do is look at how slow it takes for them to count ballots. It takes about a month for them to actually call races and competitive races in that state, which is so much slower than any other state in the country. And there's just no, I mean, can you imagine if California was an actual swing state and you wouldn't know who was president
for
until
a month?
California counted its votes?
Right.
You wouldn't have a president by inauguration. You would probably have a situation where you'd have to delay inauguration day. It would be a constitutional crisis. The fact that
it's
California,
outrageous. It really is.
California, that no one cares about. I mean, and this is a personal, I've been writing about this for many, dating back to a decade where I was like the one person screaming on how California could be so ineffective in actually counting ballots. And by the way, it's because they have rules in their state that allow ballots to come in after election day.
Right.
I mean, that is something very unusual. It's not done in most other states. So they have the ability for people to cast their ballot, you know, they can mail it before election day, but it can come in after election day. So it just makes the process so inefficient and ineffective. But it's sort of a metaphor about how California government services work and why so many cities are facing high crime.
Where'd he go? He just,
you know,
there
you are. It's a symbol on why, you know, it's kind of remarkable Republicans haven't been more competitive in California, because there's definitely a story to tell about the Democratic Party's one-party rule.
Let me ask you a little bit about President Trump. He held an event earlier. We played some of the Q&A. We had some reporting from earlier this week, and I think it was confirmed by both parties that President Trump kind of yelled at BB a little bit, called him crazy. They both came out of it saying, yeah, we can, you know, agree to disagree on some stuff. But where does that relationship stand, and where are we, do you think, in what the president might do when it comes to this war?
Well, Trump is, I mean, I feel like we talk about Iran, we have the same stories every week or two.
Yeah.
We're imminently close to a deal that never happens. And you know, maybe we'll do another military strike, but really that's not going to be the case. And look, I think it's pretty clear now that Trump has no appetite to reengage militarily against Iran. But it's sort of, we're at a point where we're in a ceasefire period, yet Iran attacked Kuwait. They fired missiles at their airport 2 days ago. That's not a ceasefire.
And yet there's this
I think need for the president to kind of create his own reality about what's happening on the ground for his own political purposes. But the reality is we're really not in a ceasefire. Iran has still closed the Strait of Hormuz. The economy is still suffering as a result internationally, and Iran is attacking our allies in the region. So I mean, it really is getting to the point where, you know, you're either going to have to put up or shut up, and you may need to have to go back to war to take out Iran's capabilities. But they clearly are playing around, and they clearly are taking advantage of this period where we're trying to project some kind of calm in the region, but that's clearly not what's happening.
Josh, how would you characterize one more topic here? How would you characterize what happened between Republicans on the Hill and President Trump on this $1.8 billion, the anti-weaponization fund, which, by the way, I think now has been scrapped, right? Have they given up on that?
For the most part. I mean, you never say never, but that's what Todd Blanche has said, and we'll believe, you know, that's how Republicans in the Senate are proceeding. It goes to show, Mark, that the Republicans that are lame ducks, the ones who lost primaries because of Trump, like a John Cornyn or Bill Cassidy or Tom Tillis, the retiring Republican senator, they're exerting their leverage. And you're seeing more examples of Republicans, not a lot of them, but a half dozen, trying to constrain some of the more unpopular parts of what Trump is trying to pursue in the Senate and preventing them from actually passing through Congress.
Yep, they're the ones with no consequences are doing what they can right now. I think that we can admit that. Josh Kronstadt, always great to have you on. We heard you today. We had some problems with the phone line, so it sounded great today. You cut out for just briefly, and you panicked me. I hope all is well. Hey, Cardinals still doing pretty well. How are your Nationals right now?
Yeah, we're doing probably. We're all right, both. Good. Teams on the rise. I'm looking forward for the series coming up.
I expect that we'll start tailing off a little bit, but look, it's been fun so far, and they're hanging in there. And Jordan Walker, did you say you had him on your fantasy team?
Because I know the whole Cardinals lineup by the top
I love that.
Hitters. So I'm now a Cardinals fan this year.
Awesome. So, yeah. Glad to have you. Thanks, Josh. We'll see you. Well, the mourning over the firing of Scott Pelley continues in the legacy media. I shall not mourn for Scott Pelley. Actually, somebody has sent me a tweet. Glenn Beck was asking, you know who Cheryl Atkinson is, Sue?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was a reporter. I think she was a CBS reporter. She was on CNN for a while. She kind of went independent about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. She was one of those that, you know, kind of got thrown to the side because I think that people realized, her bosses realized she was actually trying to do real journalism. So Glenn asked her if she would, you know, if Barry asked her to go to CBS, would she do that in 60 Minutes? And I just got the tweet, so I don't know what the answer is. She said that maybe she was approached a year ago by some other sources, but she does some really, really good independent journalism out there. We've had her on the show a couple of times, although it's been a bit. So here's some media reaction to the terrible news about Scott Pelley.
This is like an underwater earthquake at CBS News.
It's be like Scott Pelley. They're burning it all down because they want to please Donald Trump.
Boycott every thing on CBS News. These people are the biggest bunch of
I mean, good the grief, thing about people. It is they act like this is, you know, I had a tweet about this too. They act like Barry Weiss is some, you know, right-wing lunatic that is beholden to Trump, which nothing could be further from the truth. By the way, I subscribe to the FP, I read the FP every day, and there are plenty of pieces in there that are very, very critical of President Trump. She's just, this is where these folks have gone off the rails. They don't understand that what we're trying to do here is not have a completely different perspective on the news from a right-wing angle. We're trying to get you to be fair and to actually put the facts out there. I mean, it's actually about journalism, not agenda journalism. Now, I said this when I tweeted this because it was Terry Moran that you heard there that said that they're, you know, burning it all down to the ground. But what they don't understand is that agenda journalism is what people don't like. That's what's turned off the American people. What Barry Weiss saw when she was at the New York Times and when she started the FP is, let's see if we can, News Nation is trying to do this too with Leland Vittert. Let's see if we can put a product out there where it's compelling and we have like more than just one side of the story. But you'd think, oh my God, you'd think like they just hired, Graham Plattner to run CBS. How about that? A Nazi. Here's a little bit of reaction from Jake Tapper.
I don't cover news media a lot on the show. I generally think it's navel gazing. I generally think that we have so much to cover. But this story felt different. It felt a little different with Sharon and Cecilia and the executive producer last week. And then this very public kerfuffle with Scott Pelley. This is bigger than just this show and just this channel, don't you think?
A bigger kerfuffle with Scott. You know why? Because Scott Pelley decided to be a jackass at a meeting and make it all about Scott Pelley and not about the future of CBS News. I'm pretty sure that there have to be tough decisions made across all media platforms, not just CBS, but they're trying to change things and move it in a different direction, and they're trying to get people on board with the plan. And look, there's plans. I called 4 years ago, 5 years ago. I was hitting golf balls at Family Golf or about to. It's part of my work day, Sue, as you know.
Oh, of course.
You have to, you know, dedicate some time to that. And I pick up the phone and it's our two bosses here at the time. And they tell me, you know, that they're flipping the shows. And Glover's going over to KMOX and I'm going over here. And I was thrilled, by the way, when I got this call. But I even said at the time, I'm sensing this is not really up for discussion.
Right.
You know, it's like I was being told what I was going to do because they were my bosses. Now, I could have thrown a fit and said, I'm not going to do it. And I'm pretty sure that I would have been shown the door if that happened. But Scott Pelley did something in what Nick Bilton wrote, you know, the new executive producer at 60 Minutes, who was shown no respect whatsoever, who tried to have a conversation, and so did Barry. Look, Barry said they invited Scott Pelley to dinner. He refused. This is what I think will eventually come out. Look, he knew he was going to get fired. He planned that moment at the meeting. He didn't want to have any part of this, so he wanted to go out as a martyr, right? And in the eyes of the legacy media out there, like here's Terry Moran again. He goes on. All these people that used to be relevant, like on ABC. Terry Moran's the guy. Isn't he the guy that got canned after he did a tweet late at night, drunk tweet about Trump, and he had to tear it down?
I don't remember.
I don't know if he's the best source here.
I don't cover news media along on the show.
No, wait, sorry, that's Jake again. Here's Terry Moran.
Scott Pelley, my friend, good for you. That's the way you leave a job, with your back straight and your heart full, telling the truth right to their faces. Good for you. What's happening at 60 Minutes and at CBS News is tragic. For more than half a century, 60 Minutes has been the crown jewel of American journalism.
Okay, I'm just going to stop it right there because I love the fact, I am right about this, okay? I love the fact that Terry Moran says, wait, let me just play the beginning again because this is just so perfect. And no one else is going to point this out, right? Come on, Terry, tell me this. Tell me what you're going to say.
Scott Pelley, my friend, good for you. That's the way you leave a job.
That's the way you leave a job. So this is the guy who in June of last year goes on X late at night on a Saturday because he's liquored up, and he calls Stephen Miller and Donald Trump world-class haters whose hatred served as their spiritual nourishment. And, of course, he deleted it right away, and he was fired right away because it was a violation of their company policy. So the guy that got fired for violating the ABC corporate policies and he was wasted one night and puts a tweet out is defending Scott Pelley. I mean, I think that's really all you need to know about the situation, that these guys lick each other's buttholes. Pardon my French there, and that's what they do, and it's utterly disgusting. And they've never for a moment, you know, taken just a minute to say, you know, maybe we should do some stories in a little bit more of a fair way. And, you know, I could play this audio, but really I don't want to give any more attention to Scott Pelley. But some people have blasted out a couple of his stories, including the last one he did from 2 years ago on Joe Biden. And if you could just hear the tone and his, you know, it just makes you want to vomit the way that he heaps praise and protects Joe Biden. That's the thing about these journalists. There's different ways to express your bias. And one of the things, and this is not even disputable at this point, what Scott Pelley, what CBS News, what they all did, what the New York Times did, not Barry Weiss, because they saw the writing on the wall, is they all covered up what was happening to Joe Biden's health. They knew what was happening. Mm-hmm. They saw it firsthand on a regular basis. They tried to sell it differently because they knew if they went with the truth and with the real narrative that that would help Trump. The only motivation that they had, it had nothing to do with good journalism or getting the facts right or anything like that, the storytelling. It was all motivated by hatred of Trump. Now, you can still do, and by the way, people who listen to me, I've been very critical of the president. I've called him out on many things, probably more times in the last couple of months. And by the way, so have other conservative pundits, right? They're not just all kissing his butt at this time. And I think more people are kind of falling off, if you want to know the truth. But, you know, it's one thing to be critical in the moment, but everything he does, and he said this himself, the president, he can't do anything that would ever satisfy these people because they're so full of hatred. And now, you know, you got guys like Terry Moran, and I guess Scott Pelley will cross on over to the podcast world to try to be relevant in their martyrdom because that's all they have.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. according to Ookla speed test, based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
Girl, let's get real. Sun pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Let's love.